Amen. You know, this Paul the Apostle, when we look at what we're going to be covering this morning, you know, I was thinking about that, looking back over the last 30 years, this is the third time that I have taught through the 2 Thessalonians. The last time that I did so, I believe, was, maybe 2010 or something like that. And so that's about 12 years ago. And I was thinking about, just in the last 12 years, how there have been so many changes, not just in our world, but in our world that we call America. Unbelievable changes. And you know, the thing about it is some things never change. Did you know that? I mean, an unbeliever's heart can never be changed unless they become a new creation. Amen? It'll always remain lost, dead in trespasses and sins. And then you look at our world today, the conflicts that are across the globe. Some things never change, like war. Think about that, the insanity of war. You know, Jesus told us, he said, listen, there is no peace, or rather the Old Testament says there's no peace for the wicked. And not only that, there's never going to be peace on this planet until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen? Jesus told us, he told us not to be troubled. He told us not for our hearts to be full of trouble and worry. He told us in Matthew's Gospel 24:6, he says, and you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And you know, we're a generation, aren't we? I mean, you know, it's the same for every generation that we go through. Ecclesiastes 1:4, reading from a different translation, says this: one generation goes its way, and the next one arrives. The King James I like better, actually. A generation cometh, a generation goeth. Amen? In other words, you're born into this world, then you die. And then another generation comes. And here's what it says: but nothing changes. It's business as usual for old planet Earth. When I'm sitting here this week and I see the events of Ukraine, and I would be amiss not to mention any of this because we are, I hope, praying for them. Amen? I don't know why. You know how our hearts and our minds, sometimes when we see things, conflict, war, whatnot, we retreat in our hearts and in our minds to a happier time. And I don't know why that I retreated to the front porch of my grandmother's house in the swing. Now, why did I get emotional? You know what I mean? What a sissy. You know, and we're there snapping peas, you know, talking. You know, and I mean, you think about all of that. There's not any plumbing in the house, dear God, you know, but I didn't know that. I mean, I knew what the outhouse was. You know, you know what I mean. You know, there was no air conditioning in the house and any of those things. And, you know, and no telephone. The greatest thing I had on the farm that my grandmother lived, a huge farm, actually, was my dog. We would explore every acre of that farm. Oh, it was a great time. And I did so without shoes. Oh, yeah. Well, the kids don't do that today. No. And you know what? I'm so thankful because times were so simple back then, especially for a six-year-old boy. Amen. But we do not, and you grow up and then you realize times are never going to be simple. And the more that you see, the more that you realize as you grow older in the Lord that the Bible, every word of the Bible is true. And that is the only thing that we as a believer can stand on with what we're facing in this life. So this morning I'm going to talk to you about being stable in an unstable world. Remember that the Thessalonians, these young believers less than a year old, we've already learned they were going through severe persecution. And you know what? Persecution of believers around the world is never going to change until Christ comes. Amen? Now, but last time, Paul did something. He brought correction that we learned because the Thessalonians, they had their biblical theological mindset was shaken. It was all torn up. Someone was telling them, false teachers, whatever it was, whoever it was, that they had missed the rapture, and they were now in the day of the Lord, full blast into the day of the Lord. So Paul has to correct their mindset and give them the only mindset that they actually need. Remember what Paul told them? He said, no, you didn't miss the day of Christ or the rapture of the church. And Paul told us what three events had to take place. First, there had to be a falling away. The man of sin had to be revealed. And then he who restrains had to be taken out of the way. You know what I mean? So those three things, Paul said, listen, that hasn't happened. So with all that being said this morning, let's look what Paul does to give them the proper mindset. And loved one, listen to me. You need me, the church, we need the right mindset in if we're going to live, be stable in unstable times. Amen? You don't know what's coming tomorrow. You don't know. We think that everything's going to always stay the same. That's exactly what the Ukrainians hope for. Do you know what I mean? You don't know. Every day is precious. So what does Paul do? He says there, he says, listen, we are bound in verse 13. We're obligated to God to give thanks to God always for you. So what does Paul do? With one word, he changes everything. He leaves behind those that are going to suffer the horrible consequences in the future of those who are going to believe the lie. And the lie, of course, is that the Son of Man is not as desirable as the man of sin. Remember from last Sunday, they're going to believe the lie. God's going to send them strong delusion that they would embrace what they wanted to embrace. So with one word, Paul moves away from things future. He returns to things present. And he says, this is how you're going to have to live until the rapture of the church, until Jesus comes for you. And this is the only mindset that they are to have and we're to have as well. So in this short study this morning, Paul is going to give us, he gave them, but give us seven great foundational truths that you must hold on to each and every day of your life, because this world that we live in is not stable. Did you know that? America is not stable. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amen? Well, we can stand. That's what we can do. We can believe the word of God. Amen? That's right. We can even walk on water if God chooses that for us. Now, so with all that said, Paul's going to build this solid foundation from God's word. Again, he's going to show us how to be stable in an unstable world, no matter what we are facing. So these seven truths. It's amazing that here we are in this church. The word is revolution. Seek first the kingdom of God. And like I said, from 2022 to 2024, that's the season that we're in. Amen? Well, I don't understand it, but remember what I said. I said, I can't define it. I can only declare it. But loved one, the world is being shaken, and it's going to continue to be shaken. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? So with all that being said, he shows us now, beginning here in verse 13 again, look what he says, these seven solid truths that we can stand on. He says, brethren, he starts off, beloved by the Lord. You want to know how to be stable no matter what you're facing? You have to believe that you are the beloved of God. Amen? Isn't that amazing how Paul just put this together? It's so simple. In other words, what did he just say? He said, hey guys, God loves you. Do you believe that? Yes. No, I mean, really, come on. How many times have you truly heard that? I'm telling you what, Paul says, guys, listen, you know what? You're hated by your persecutors. You're going through, you're suffering, you know, just like what's happening overseas. But here, God says, don't you ever forget, Paul says, listen, you are beloved by God. You are, God loves you. Jesus said himself in John 16, 27, he says, for the Father himself loves you. What a great word. Listen, I don't think I'm a very lovable person. Now, you might think you are, but I don't think I am. But God is in love with you and me. And I can stand on that. Do you understand how stable that makes me? Let's put it another way. Do you know how unstable you are in your life when you know that your mother and your father and you're a kid and they don't love you? Are you stable? No, you're unstable. You're lost. You don't know Who, you don't know why they don't love you, but to find out that God loves you. Oh man, you mean, Lord, you love me? Oh yes, you do. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:1, it says, behold what manner of love that God our Father has bestowed upon you, we the recipients of his love. Behold what manner. What manner is one word in the Greek language, and it means a love that is not, that's foreign to this world, that only comes from heaven. It's God's love. Behold what manner of love God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Listen, we are adopted. We are partakers of his divine nature. Amen? We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. I don't know how much more stability that we truly need except that right there. And I say, oh, Lord, thank you that you love me. And not only that, listen, when you think about God's love, it's not like some of the love that's thrown around today. God's love, is God's love unconditional? Yes. You mean God loves me? Yes, he does. Is God's love uncaused? What does that mean? It means you cannot do one thing to make God love you any more or any less than he already does. I'm going to tell you what now, if you believe that, it'll set you free. God loves you when you fail. God loves you when you doubt him. Are you listening to me? He loves you when you believe in him, when you have faith. But God's love is not like our crummy love. You do right and I'll love you. Straighten up and I guess I'll care about you. No. God says, no. My love is unchanging. And there is absolutely nothing, sinner, unbeliever, or saint, that they can do, that we can do, to make God love you any more or any less than he already does. You want to know how to be stable in an unstable world? You need to wake up in the morning and when you feel depressed. You need to wake up in the morning whenever you feel like you're nothing but a failure. And you need to say, God loves you. Think about that. God loves you. You know, there are people, and I say this in no condemnation, there are people that, you know, movie stars could be in Fort Worth, you know, and they go see them and they're just in awe. You know, that I'm not in awe of anybody. Do you understand? That doesn't turn me on. Does that make sense? It doesn't excite me. You know, I told you that story that time in Vegas and when President Reagan came to visit. Remember that? And there I am at the park right by Wayne Newton's house, that big mansion. Remember him, Donkashin, you know, I'm at the park and I wanted to go see him because I like President Reagan, you know? And so he's in the limo, boy, and all the people are coming by. I'm right on the street. I mean, I'm right here. I could touch that thing nearly, that limo. And so I'm like this, and everybody around me, they are screaming. And so, as God is my witness, the motorcade, he slows and the window is down. It's President Reagan. He looks at me and he goes, when he pointed at me, I went, ah! I got excited. Why? He recognized me. And I think God recognized you. God loves you. Man, and I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, listen, did you know that God's love? You think, well, how much does God love me? Ephesians 3:18-19, God's love for us is, you cannot measure it, high step width. You can't do it. And the love of Christ surpasses all knowledge for you, not your love for him. And not only that, go to, what does it say in Romans, what, 8:39 or what? Nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are the beloved of God. Now listen, that means when we walk out of that door, we may face all kinds of hell in our life, but I can walk out and I can say, and you can say, God loves me and he loves you, but he loves me. And that's all I need to embrace that. I need to know that. Amen. You see, the Bible says in what, Ephesians 1:6, it says that we are accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that God the Father, who loves you, not only loves you unconditionally, he accepts you exactly the same way he accepts his only begotten Son that he sent into this world to die for our sins. Can you believe that? You know what? Listen to me now. I'm talking about to be stable. That means this, that you cannot, since you're in the beloved, you cannot make yourself any more acceptable to God than you already are because you are in the beloved, which is his Son. Does that make sense? Now, if that doesn't turn you on, if that doesn't get you happy, then there's something wrong. There should be a tambourine going across right now. People should be throwing money on stage. I'm joking. No, listen. Man, that is our eternal position. And I'm going to tell you something. You will never be stable in this world if you do not believe that God really loves you. He really loves you. You know how you can frown at a situation? He doesn't frown on you. See, God loves us. That was the first thing. Number two on how to be stable in an unstable world, look at it. Because from the beginning, God what? Look what he chose you for. God chose you for salvation. Remember that study in Ephesians 1:4, that God chose us in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundations of this world. Isn't that amazing? God chose you. Do you ever just ponder that? Somebody called me yesterday morning, 5:30, sent me, I was in my quiet time, in a study, and so I get a text, "Are you awake?" I sent him a why. That means yes, right? I said, "Yes. Would you like to talk?" "Yes." "What do you think about all these prophecies about the..." And I said, "Please, let's don't go there." Then he goes an hour conversation on, you know, well, this is going, this is this and this. And I said, "If you really want to get excited, why don't you ponder one thing?" I said, "I know you very, very well. And God chose you before the foundations of the earth." He says, "Oh, wow." I say, "Yeah, go ponder that, would you? And leave me alone." You know, do you ever just ponder that? God loves you, but God chose you. He picked you out. He selected you before there was anything. Do you understand? God chose you in him. That is what I call stability. We can be stable. Loved one, listen, because that can never change. You were chosen in eternity. Isn't that amazing? You were chosen before time. You weren't chosen in this world by God. You were chosen before you ever were born. Think about that. God chose you in him before anything ever happened on this planet, because there was no earth. Do you follow me? Why did he do that? Well, because God has you in his plans and purposes. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. God, who saved us, called us, holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I know that there are those in the church today, they believe that God chose them because they're special people, that they're really lovely people. No, we're not a lovely people. Amen? Come on, let's really be honest this morning. Second service, I'll baby them, but I don't baby you. You know what I mean? No, God chose you. He didn't choose you because I love the Lord. No, God chose you. Why? Because he loved you. He loved you before time began. Does that make sense? For God so what? Loved the world. Not the trees and the forest and the rivers. He loved the people, all people, every generation. that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loves. He sent his son to die for us that we wouldn't perish if we'll just believe in him. Amen? Oh, listen, God loves us. Matter of fact, it says in 1 John 4:9, it says, and this is love. This is God's love. It says the love of God was manifested or made visible toward us, that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. In this, oh, this is love. Not that we loved God, because we didn't love God. He says, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. That word means atonement. In other words, our sin debt is paid forever. That to be a propitiation for our sins. God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? Oh, listen, no matter what you face in this life, and we're going to face many things. If you're a young person, you got a whole lot of things to face in your life. And if you're an old person, guess what? You still have things to face in this life. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. That's why we need to believe God's word today, right this minute, and hold on to it with all of our hearts. Listen, I can be stable. You know why? No matter when I'm down on me or whatever I'm facing, the Creator, the one who created all things, the one who has all wisdom, all power, he picked me. He picked you. Did you know that God has never made a mistake? And you're not a mistake. You know, we quit looking at you and look to him. Amen. No, listen, God doesn't pick people to be losers. We've overcome the world. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3 that thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said, listen, I've come in John 10:10, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Man, that's what we have. Look at the third thing here. God chose you for salvation, number three, through sanctification. In other words, God set you apart. That's number three. Number four, how did he do it? By the Spirit. Now, and what was the purpose for salvation? To be saved, to rescue us from sin and death and hell. Now listen, to be set apart means that is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. How? We're not talking here yet. There's two things of this. The first part is that the Holy Spirit, what does he do? If you're an unbeliever, what does the Holy Spirit do to the unbeliever? The Bible says in John, 16, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, not sins, plural, sin. What does that mean? Jesus has already paid for our sins. The Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. He wants you saved. But something happens when you start hearing the word of God, the gospel. Someone's out there sharing it with you, and the Holy Spirit, he starts bringing conviction into your heart, and he's forcing that individual through love to make a decision. You have a decision to make. You can receive Christ Jesus. You can reject Christ Jesus. He comes to convict. See, we are chosen for eternity, in eternity, but we are called in time. Amen? That's how we come to Christ, in time. Now, instantly, the moment that you ask Christ to come into your heart, are you set apart? Yes. Are you considered holy by God? You're a holy vessel. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God in your heart till the day of redemption. However, the new birth is only the beginning. A lot of people think, now I'm born again, that's it. No, that's just the beginning of the adventure. Amen? Oh, that's when you start growing and so forth. So sanctification here, being set apart to God for his purposes, his plans, sanctification is always an ongoing process. Justification, remember, when you ask Christ to be the Lord of your life, you're immediately justified. Justification is a matter of imputation. In other words, it's where God takes what belongs to another, who is Jesus Christ, and he puts over into your account, because now you're a believer, the spotless, sinless record of Christ Jesus. It's his righteousness, not your righteousness. So justification is a fact. Justification is not a feeling. It's something that happens to you, not in you, okay? But sanctification is a matter of transformation, meaning it is an ongoing process in the life of the believer. None of us, when we're born again, did we start out like the Apostle Paul? No, but we grow in Christ-likeness, amen? And guess who's doing the work? The Holy Spirit, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus, amen? Philippians what? 2:12 through 13, I believe it is. For work out your own salvation. You have it now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is working in you. But that great scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18, talking about the transformation of the believer. It reads this way, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, that's a verb, present tense, are being, it's a process, transformed into the same image of our Lord. Think about that. From glory to glory, from adventure to adventure, as you keep growing in Christ-likeness and growing in Christ-likeness, you don't get stuck in glory, amen? You're in trouble if you're stuck in glory. You have to keep going, loved one. And who does it? It says, by the Holy Spirit of God that has been given unto us. Listen, it is so vital, if we're going to be stable in an unstable world, to keep going from glory to glory. And let me tell you why. If you are going from glory to glory, which means into Christ's likeness, that means this, that you are consistently following Christ Jesus. Amen? Are y'all with me? Yes, because if you're not on the narrow road, you're not going to go from glory to glory. Does that make sense? Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you're not going to do that, do you see what I mean? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not ever walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we have to follow the Lord. And that's how you go from glory to glory to glory. In other words, into Christ's likeness in our lives. But the basis for all transformation is found in the remaining part of this verse. Look at it again, verse 13. This is number 5, by the way. It says, and belief in the what? The truth. Who is the Spirit of truth? The Holy Spirit. He's the source of all truth. Do you know that without the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has nothing to say? Because he's the author of the Word of God, amen? That's right. So listen, without God's word, it says belief in the truth. Without God's truth, if you don't believe in the truth and act upon the truth, loved one, listen to me, you're not stable. And not only that, you don't have anything to hold on to. So 1 Peter 2:1, you know this scripture, where Peter says, therefore laying aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. So he's talking about growing in Christ-likeness by elimination. And you eliminate things by the power of the Spirit, not your own strength. He says this, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word. The pure milk, that means nothing's added to it, not man's opinions, the pure, sincere milk of the word of God, amen? Whereby you grow thereby. It's impossible to grow in Christ's likeness without the word of God. And we have to get the word of God. We feed ourselves. Too many believers, they stay on the milk diet. Everybody has to always be on the diet of milk, but they don't have to stay there because you don't grow. In other words, if you're still on the bottle, are you an adult? I hope not. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? That means, no, a milk diet means someone's feeding you. You have to come to a point, because you're going from glory to glory, to where finally you put the bottle down. You always go back to it. Don't get me wrong. You never outgrow the milk of the word. Amen? But solid food, it says in Hebrews, belong to those who are maturing. We need to keep growing. We have 66 books here. That's why we teach the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God at Calvary. We need all of the Word of God. So it's impossible to grow spiritually. It's impossible to be stable in an unstable world without God's Word. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says this, stand fast in the faith. In other words, be firm. Be stable with the word of God. The church at Corinth, the Bible says, Paul says, you know what? You guys in Corinth, you are enriched in everything. They had everything going for them, but they were babes in Christ. They were carnal, weren't they? And so instead of having an impact on Corinth, Corinth had an impact on them. Amen? Yes, right. So instead of changing the city changed them. And you know why? The reason is because they were not stable in the Word of God. They were not believing the Word of God. They were not standing firm in the Word of God. See, to be stable requires you knowing what you believe. Amen? That's why it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, make every effort or be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Here it comes, rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot rightly divide the truth that you don't study. You cannot rightly divide the truth that you do not know. To be skillful in the word, loved one, listen, it takes time. Meaning it's a daily process, isn't it? Constantly renewing our minds to the Word of God. What did Jesus tell us? He said, listen, Matthew 4:4, after he was defeating the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He told us about a wise man and a foolish man in Matthew 7:24. He says, whoever hears these words of mine and doeth them, not just hear them, but does them, shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The floods, the winds, the rain, all the things of life came. The instability in life came. But that house didn't fall. Why? It was founded upon the rock. Loved one, the word of God is paramount. Has to be. See, in Romans 12:2, what does it tell us? What does it tell us in Romans 12:2? What's Romans 12:1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you be. What is it? Transform. Oh, two. I got it. And be not what? Why did somebody tell me that and let me struggle in front of you like that? I know that scripture by heart, but sometimes the cheese is still hanging on. It's cool. But sometimes it's not all there. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed. How? There you go. You have to renew your mind. Ephesians, what is it? 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you catch that? The spirit of your mind. There is an area in our mind from the fall that has to be in the spiritual realm that has to be completely renewed. Man, that is vital that we know that. Vital that we do that. Get into the Word of God. And, you know, we all know what happens to believers that don't renew their mind. You know what I mean? Will they ever know the will of God? Will they be tossed fro with all kinds of doctrines that are not true? Will they ever defeat the wicked one? No. You know why they won't defeat the wicked one? Because they don't know the will of God. They don't know the word of God. See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. See, you have to have the word of God. Truth. Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. You have to have the word of God, loved one. You know, I sometimes talk to parents and they're not teaching their children. They're not discipling their children. Listen, the church can't disciple your children. They can only assist you. They're not living here. we're not feeding them. Oh, they might get those little fishies back there, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. What are those things called? I don't want to know. I would never. The thing is that, you know, if a parent, and I say, listen, I love you, I'm not beating on you, okay? But if a parent doesn't disciple their little ones, their teenagers and all those things, then you know what? You got to give them the word of God. If not, you're creating, though you don't mean to, but you're creating an unstable child. And they're going to have to face an unstable world. Loved one, this is paramount. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't tell you how timely this study is with the things in the world. Boy, every point we need, I mean, that it, when you get home, you should write down every point. You should go to the app and get all the scriptures that I'm giving you right now because they're available for you. It's important And it's vital that we receive these things. Now look at number 6, verse 14, where it says, to which he called you. How did he call you? By the good news, by the gospel. That's how you were called. Do you remember when you heard the good news? Listen, somebody shared Jesus Christ with you. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare, I make known to you the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which I also received, in which you stand. In other words, you stand right now. It makes you stable. It makes you firm and strong, by which you also are saved if you hold fast. Verse 15, there's that word, hold, meaning to hold fast. Don't let go, a command. That word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Listen carefully now. For I delivered to you first of all, of which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I believe we have a mental issue today. And this morning in my prayer time, I was pondering that verse right there. And I was thinking about it. It says Christ died. Christ died. Christ died. For what? Our sins. Loved one, I want you to just look at the cross. Look at Jesus being dragged to the cross. Look at them putting the cross upon his shoulders. Look at, he's already been beaten bloody. He's already been scourged. Do you know, the church today, we've made the cross of Christ is such a pretty thing. And it should not be a pretty thing. It's a horrible death. Do you understand me? And I want you to see yourself now, somebody dragging your body and beating you unmercifully. And there's the cross, and they're going to nail you to that tree. And they have no mercy upon you. And they drag you, and there you are. And those soldiers, they spread out your hands and put your feet together. And they get ready to put the nails into the hands of Christ or into you. And all of a sudden, someone says, stop. Let that person go. I'm going to take his place. That's what Jesus did for us. We deserved the punishment he received. Do you understand? The cross, the only thing beautiful about the cross is that our sin debt was laid upon our Savior, and thank God we believe that. Do you understand? The cross is not a pretty thing. We make it into jewelry and all kinds of things, and I don't belittle that. But loved one, listen, we have to have a true picture of what we have been saved from and how he died and suffered in our place. Amen? That's how you stand in this life. Now look at number 7, God's incredible purpose for you. Verse 14, the latter part, where it says, for the obtaining of glory, of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you're going to handle that one. We've already talked about it. But can you believe that the King of glory, the God of glory, the Lord of glory, the Father of glory, all, listen, that shows you in eternity, that's his purpose for you. I don't even know how to teach that. I can't teach that because I don't know. Listen, there they are. They're under severe persecution. We're not here. One day we might be and probably will be. But you know, when I look at that, and who's behind all of the persecution? Is it man? Who is it? It's the devil. Remember what Peter wrote to those Christians who were suffering? Let me read it to you. He says, the suffering in this world for Christ. He goes, in 1 Peter 5:9, he says, resist him, meaning the devil, resist him, steadfast. That means stand, be firm, be stable in the faith. It says, resist him. Not in your own strength, but in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings experienced by your brotherhood in the world, meaning the worldwide church. Now listen to what he says. But may the God of all grace, and here it comes, talking about glory, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. I love that. A while means there's a limit to our persecution. There's a limit to our suffering. He says, after you've suffered a while, perfect, and then that word establish. Be stable. Make stable. Strengthen you and settle you. Listen, the glory of God. I don't know what that really means. We call it the Shekinah glory. I've never seen a cloud above us by day and a pillar of fire by night. Have you? Okay, so they did. They were the only nation on earth that literally had a visible presence of the glory of God. The only nation that's ever experienced that, Israel. I've never experienced that. But I'm going to tell you, it says here that God's goal is for you to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means, but I know it's going to be something, loved one. It says in the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17, 22, and Jesus said, and the glory that you gave me, I've given them. 2 Thessalonians 1:10, we studied this out where it says, and when Jesus comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, when he comes to be glorified in his saints and admired among all those who believe because of our testimony among you who would believe in that day. Man, what a day that's going to be. It says in Romans 18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, the sons and daughters of God. There is a glory that's going to be revealed, bestowed upon us because we are in Christ Jesus, that there is not one thing in this world that can be compared to it. And you know what? Who's doing all that? Is it because those who suffer for the Lord, is that why that glory? No. Because they have great faith? No. You know how it's accomplished? God. Look over at chapter 3, verse 3. Here's how it's accomplished. Look at that. Chapter 3, verse 3 of Thessalonians. But the Lord is what? Faithful. What is he going to do? Who will establish you? That means he's going to make you unshakable. He's making you stable. And he'll guard you from the evil one. That's the devil. Listen, God makes us stable in an unstable world, in unstable things, because that's what the world is, unstable in everything, because of they're unstable in their minds. We belong to the only thing, the only one that is perfectly solid, stable in the entire universe and can never be shaken. That's the Lord. Loved one, listen, we belong, as you've heard me been saying, to an unshakable kingdom. That's why we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, listen, it says in verse 15, here comes the commands now. This is the theme of the whole thing that I'm teaching this morning. Therefore, based on everything that you've just heard, these seven great truths, stand fast, be stable. That is a command. That is not a suggestion. Stand fast and look at the next command. Hold or retain or have a firm grip upon. Listen, have a firm grip on what though? The traditions that you were taught. That's not talking about traditions handed down like church tradition. That's talking about when Paul was first in Thessalonica, the word that he taught them. And then he says also by word or by our epistle. So stability is impossible without the word of God. Amen. Now, look at verse 16. Look at Paul's prayer. We're going to close. Just hold on. We're nearly done. It says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us, given us everlasting consolation. Let me read another scripture. Who has given us unending eternal encouragement in the face of every distress and good hope by grace. Comfort your hearts, strengthen you or establish you in every good, every useful, every beneficial, every helpful, look at those two words, word and truth. The order of that is very significant. Word is what we say, work is what we do for the Lord. Amen. Very, very important. To be stable, you must know the truth and you must do the truth. Amen? It's not just hearing it. James 1:22, be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word, which are you're deceiving yourselves, it says. So, but look at this next one, which is above it. Comfort your hearts. How does that happen? It's love. It says, comfort your hearts. Stable hearts in an unstable world. I want you to look again at chapter 3, verse 5, and Paul's prayer. Look at it. It says in verse 5 of chapter 3, May the Lord, what? Say that word again. That word means this. May the Lord clear every obstacle that is in your way. Why? Direct your hearts where? There it is. How are your hearts going to be comforted and stable? It says your hearts are directed into the love of God. Not their love for God, God's love for them. Man, listen, I don't know about you, but have you ever noticed every day how many things are after your heart to direct your heart? Does fear try to direct your heart? Unbelief try to direct your heart? Of course. Every day there's something. What a great prayer. Listen, if you want to be stable in an unstable world, you need to get on your knees and do the same thing Paul did when he prayed. He says, I'm praying that the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Listen, I'm guilty of doing this. I'm guilty of praying, Lord, I need more power. Come on. I need my heart to be directed into your love. Man, there, when you get into God's heart, is that a stable heart? Oh, listen, it's no different than, it's like the Apostle John at the Last Supper leaning on the breast of Jesus. You know what I mean? And talking to him, he could hear the heartbeat of God. And that's what we need to get so close to the love of God and the heart of God that we hear it. Loved one, listen, look at the last part of that on that prayer. He says, oh, and now may the Lord direct your hearts into what? The patience or the steadfast or the stable endurance of Christ. There is nothing stable in this world. Nothing. Ask the Ukrainians. What are we going to do if? What would we do if that happened to us? The only thing that we could do, oh, you have to fight. You want to fight. But the only thing you can do, loved one, is to take these seven truths and you stand on them. And you're saying, listen, God shows me. God loves me. I believe the truth of God. I'm not going to be shaken because I am stable. And you know what? This world is not going to make it anyway. But you have to have that in you. You have to believe those things. Listen, the church endures by looking at one person. Remember Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Where it says, let us run the race with endurance. With endurance. Steadfastness, stableness. The race that is set before us. Listen, stability in this life is found in the one who is forever stable. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let me close just one more scripture, loved one. Listen to me now. This world is not our home. We're not to love the world or the things that are in the world. Amen. Yeah. Listen, because this world is under the sway of the wicked one. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:10, it says, oh, Lord, you were from the beginning. You laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens. And listen to what the word says. They're going to perish. But you, speaking of Jesus, Jesus, you remain. Everything's going to grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You're going to fold them up and they're going to be changed. But you are the same. You know what the word stable means? Stable means steady, unchanging, firm, sure, certain, and constant. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. When your world is spinning out of control, well, then why don't you look to the Lord? You know, unstable hearts and unstable minds, you know what's going to happen? Those are the ones who believe the lie. Can you imagine? The only thing you trust is an unstable world. An unstable world. The things of the world that's temporary, that are passing, that are being held in the arms of the wicked one. What a sad thing. Father, we thank you for this early service. I pray these seven truths penetrated me and every person that's present and those that are listening live. And Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that if there are anyone here that Jesus Christ is not their Lord, they've never asked Christ to come into their heart, to be the Lord of their life. As every believer is praying, the most important minute in this whole time together, you can come to Christ right now. I'm not talking about joining Calvary Chapel. And I know that in the early service, most everybody's a believer, but you know what? I feed and then I fish. And man, I want you and God wants you because God chose you. Now, will you choose him? If that's you, here's what I want you to do. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come down to the altar. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Quickly, if that's you, hand up and put it right back down. Anyone at all before I close in prayer? Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name, believing that everyone here belongs to you, and that is certainly my prayer. Because if they don't belong to you, they belong to someone else. Lord, we pray again for the Ukraine, the Ukrainian people. Lord, the little children, their faces broke my heart. I know you're there. Your will be done, O Lord. Bless your people now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? I pray you have a wonderful rest of the week. The Lord bless you richly. If you're visiting with us for the first time, I'm going to depart over to the Welcome Center. And there's a free gift over there waiting for you. And if you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you at the altar as Jesse closes us out. The Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name.